turn to Matthew chapter 13, please, verses 44, 45, and 46. Is there anything that you've encountered in your life where you said, I just have to have that? Any of you? Just got to have it. I've seen it when we were doing softball, and guy just had to pay whatever price he could get for that one of those bats that would just hit that ball so much many yards further. I've seen it on some of the shows that you see on TV, where they picture someone who's got to have something. For example, one show, the man, he had to have a tank. And his wife's freaking out over, you wouldn't let me have this, but you got to have a tank. Yeah, that type. Anybody ever experienced something you just got to have? When I was much younger, I started collecting chess sets. Now, I didn't have a lot of money, so most of my chess sets were inexpensive ones compared to what other people would buy. But I had one time I had 15 or 20 chess sets. Just had to have them. Even so, had to have them. I got married on March the 7th of 1975. We spent the night in Salisbury, Maryland, and then we drove down to Williamsburg, Virginia, for our honeymoon. Most of our honeymoon. We ended up going up Skyline Drive and places like that later. But anyway, spent a few days there in Williamsburg. And back then, because we're going back last century, I realize, but back then they had a place called the Pottery Plant, and they actually made things there. And there was also some satellite shops and stuff. And one of them made onyx-type stuff. And there was this onyx chess set. This board, it was just beautiful, and all the pieces. Now I'm on my honeymoon now. Yeah. So what should my focus be on? Yeah, chess sets, you know it. So, sure enough, and Carol could just see my eyes were focused on that. And we agreed that I was going to be able to buy one. And we up until recently, I've had that thing. We've been married 45 years. Up until recently, I had it. It just a couple pieces had broken, and I gave it to someone that I thought might be able to find a couple other pieces. But just had to have it. There's been a number of things in my life. Just got to have. But I haven't had anything yet where I'd be willing to sell everything I got to get that one thing. So as we take a look at these parables here in Matthew 13, verses 44, 45, and 46, listen to the teaching that Jesus gives here. Starting in verse 44 in the NIV, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now these are parables. These are teaching tools that Jesus uses. A lot of times these wisdom type literature, these wisdom type teaching things like Proverbs and stuff, people walk away from the lesson and it's a tool, it's a technique. People will remember the teaching tool. And then in time, they'll be able to put the application back to it or the main thought behind it. But they can walk away and say, hey, I remember that parable about the man who had that field. I remember the man who had that found that pearl. It's a teaching tool. And it's a technique to get home a really good point. Jesus uses that technique quite a bit. You know that. The language is such, it's a parable, it's got a teaching, it has a message right at the core of it, and all the stuff around it, you can envision that parable as you travel along. Well, you notice here in both of them, verses 44 and verse 45, in the introduction to each one of them, you notice he says, the kingdom of heaven is like. In verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like. What is the kingdom of heaven? What is it that it's like this? You hear that in a lot of the parables, a lot of the teachings. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like this thing, or like this way of doing things, or like this thought, or like this person. What is the kingdom of heaven? Is he referencing the church age in which God, the kingdom of God has come to be with man, in which on the day of Pentecost forward, The church has been established. All 2,000 years we've been living, we've been in the church age. Is this how we're supposed to be carrying ourselves during this period of time? I'm kind of leaning that way. But again, I struggled over the years trying to figure out, what does he mean by the kingdom of heaven is like this? I think I said it's the church age. It's when Jesus has established his church on earth, and the day will come when he calls us to go home with him and we'll be with the eternal kingdom. But right now, that's what I think it is. Now, if you disagree with me, that's fine. You're welcome to be wrong. And, we can have discussions about it. But I like to look at this. And in both these situations, the kingdom of heaven is like this. So we, first of all, you'll notice that he points out in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Now, what is this treasure? Some of us think treasure chest, like a pirate is hidden big treasure chest in a particular field. Some commentators, and I kind of lean toward this one, think it's sort of like a man who's checking out a field, and all of a sudden he finds out there's a mine shaft or a gold mine or something like that that can be found, something of great value in the soil that the owner wasn't aware of. So it's of great value. It's one he has stumbled on as opposed to one he's been searching for. And it's going to be, as we look through this, this is going to be like the kingdom of heaven. It's like someone who stumbled on finding it, and you have found a great treasure. Now, you also notice the other one is seeking of the pearl in verse 45, 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. You see here, he is searching. He is looking. He's a connoisseur of pearls. Just like I was looking for, well, I didn't deliberately go on the honeymoon and say, "Hun, while we're going on honeymoon, I'm going to be looking for a chess set." You know, I'm more like the other one. I stumbled on one. But some of you search, you try to find just the perfect thing. And when you find it, you're willing to step out and get it. Some of us are seeking, some of us stumble on it. These two illustrations here point that out. Now, in both of these cases, they found something that was of such great value that what did they then sell? They took a look at this, and this was worth everything they got. Every possession they've had, all the finances they put away, everything they got, both of them. One was looking for pearls and found the greatest pearl of all. So all of them are willing to give up, both of them are willing to give up everything that they have accumulated to this point in life to have this particular piece of land with that treasure in it or to have this particular pearl. They gave up everything. It was an incredible find. Sold everything they had. Now, I've struggled with the first one a little bit. Think about this. Let's say you own the land. I have stumbled onto your property, and I found something of tremendous value. What would you expect me to do before I bought the land from you? Yeah. There's a part of me, from an ethics standpoint, I would feel obligated to say, "Look, I'm going to buy this land from you, but did you know you had a gold mine on it?" The other part of me says, "Hey, stupid." Now, you can look at it that way, or you can see someone sees a piece of land and they see a great value in it, but you don't see the same value. So, for example, up in Delaware, there was some marshland near a river area there, near a small river that was going through some marshland. The person saw value in that and went around buying up all these plots. And some of them had, a couple, 3, 4, 10 acres, and they got it for like $500. Well, he was then able to get permission somehow or another. He saw that. Anyway, he built condos on this thing. And he made a huge fortune. Now, some people said, "Well, that wasn't right. He should have told people what he was doing." Well, no, he was making the investment. He saw the value in it. The other people didn't see the value in it. So, but anyway, they see the value, got to have it, sells everything he's got, pours his heart, soul, and mind, everything he's done, he's poured into it. Now, the second one, I have a little bit less problem with, because if you're looking for a pearl and you find the one you want, you buy it. Well, the question I get when I get done reading these two parables, what is it that is of such value in that you would sell everything you got right now? What is of such value? Now, you have a tendency to probably to think, because they've talked materialistic here, you might think, well, I just got to have this great classic car. I just got to have it. I'm going to sell almost everything I got to have this car. Or it may be a house that you've been wanting to have all your life, and you finally got a chance to get this house, so I'm going to sell everything I got to get this house. You may see that from a materialistic point. What do you think Jesus is trying to tell us is of such value that we need to be prepared to give up everything we got to have it? Well, he's already said the kingdom of heaven is like this. So what is it? It's our life. We got to be willing to give up our lives, everything we got, for what? For Jesus Christ. For salvation. For hope. For glory. For redemption. For forgiveness. For mercy. For grace. We got to be willing to give it all up. And this possession that we're going to take in is of far more value than anything we have here. How long do you have on planet Earth? Well, that date's kind of mixed, isn't it, for a lot of us? Well, those dates are mixed. We don't know. We could be blessed with be able to live into our 90s, or God could have called us home much sooner. We don't know the date. We would love for it. We'd love to know it. We'd plan everything accordingly, wouldn't you? If I knew what day I was leaving here, I'd make plans. First thing I'd do is go run up all the credit cards, right? No, wouldn't do that. But you know what I'm saying? But we don't know the date. But our life is of such value that we invest a lot into it. And when the day comes, it's gone. And how long are we remembered? How long? For some, a little longer. But for most, a few years, and life moves on. Life just moves on. My grandmother passed away when I was 12 years old. And nobody in my current family knows her. Nobody was there to see her laying in the bed, reading her little magazines and putting her glasses a certain way. But I can still picture it once in a while in my brain. But I don't remember the conversations we had. I remember the time she threw water under the bed to get me out. I was a little hard-headed back then. Way back then. So, just remember, we put a lot in this life, but we got to be willing to take this life and invest it in a life that is much more full, much more rich, and is for eternity. I wish all of you would attend, or at least watch online, the Wednesday Bible studies. We have just started looking at Revelation 21 and 22. We're getting a picture of our heavenly home, the glory that's going to be ours. We're going to get the chance to see that, what it's going to be like to be with God for eternity. 20 chapters leading up to this. All bringing us to that point in time, and now we get to see it and see the wonder of it and realize that what we're giving up is nothing compared to what we're getting. So we need to take a look at the kingdom of heaven, to what Jesus Christ is offering to us, what God is offering to us, and we got to decide, is that what we want? Is that what we're searching for? Is that what we're looking for? If so, are you willing to give up your life here for the life that you're going to have there? Are you willing to do that? Now, the vast majority of you have already made that decision. I mentioned the chess sets earlier. And I had somewhere in the 20-some. Some of them were real precious, nothing more than a little small thing that opened up. And they were just little things you can move in the little, put little pegs and stuff like that. But it was kind of precious because it had been someone's heirloom. And I'd gotten it. And then others, like I said, I had one that was here one time, kept at the church here. It was a Ming Dynasty chess set, leather inlaid board. It was one of my more precious purchases that I had made. And so I had it here. Somebody happened to come into our church building at a time when we hadn't planned on people coming in the building, and they used an entrance that we had not planned on them using. So, and they just went around the church picking up stuff that they thought nobody else wanted, and they thought they could give it a good home. One of them was in my office. They took the chess set. They took a pen and pencil set with some kind of Navy stuff on it. Carol had bought one of those, whatever you steer a ship with. And they'd taken that. But they took my chess set, Can't believe that. I guess they just loved it more than I did. But in the course of time, what happened to all of those sets? Where are they at today? But on October 19th, 1975, I saw a purchase that I needed to make for eternity. And that Sunday night, I went up the aisle, gave my life to the Lord, and was immersed into Jesus Christ that very night for the remission of my sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, and my name was added to the Lamb's Book of Life. I have eternity. I want to hang on to that. I want to keep it. Unlike those chess sets that got away and some of them got damaged and some of them got disappeared any other way, I don't want to lose my salvation. Maybe you're part of those one of those groups that grew up, once saved, always saved. And I respect that if you want to believe that. I just don't see the Bible teaching it the same way you do. I see the Bible teaching that I need to walk with Jesus for every day, hand in hand. I don't earn my salvation anyway, but I can also lose it if I reject Him and turn away from Him. And I don't want that to happen. So I'm going to walk with Him and stay in Him and be a part of Him forever and ever and ever. So what have I got to do that? Just like I made my decision to give my life up for Him, I need to continue to make the decision to continue to let my life be His. I've got to find the time to pray. I've got to find the time to read the Bible. I've got to find the time to worship and serve. I've got to find the time because this is an investment that is worth it. It's worth far more than any silver or gold, any great pearl, or any special piece of property. It's worth it. It's worth everything I got. And it's worth everything you got. So again, taking a look at the parables, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Let's realize that Jesus Christ's blood is far more value than anything else in this world. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations. I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ. For the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, we will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer but you haven't joined your fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus as a believer. I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.